This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, thank you for staying tuned. I'm Shaoning and this is The Morning Run with Roshan Gunnison. It is now 7:18 in the morning, Wednesday, the 14th of October. And in about half an hour, we'll be speaking to Dr. Bridget Welsh, longtime political commentator on the significance of Dato' Sri Anwar's meeting with the young Dipertuan Agong. But in the meantime, let's talk about FNB, because the conditional movement control order in Selangor and Kuala Lumpur and Putrajaya started at midnight and will be going on for 2 weeks until the 27th of October. So Senior Defence Minister Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob said that the current CMCO will allow for dine-in, but only for two people per table. He also added that businesses are allowed to operate from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. during the CMCO period. This applies to restaurants, food trucks, eateries, grocery stores, among others. Our minister also meanwhile encouraged restaurants and eateries to promote takeaways, drive-through and home delivery options within the EMCO area. So for a little bit of colour on this and how it may impact the industry, we speak to Jennifer Ong, founder and CEO of Hapa Group, a private group representing hospitality, F&B and travel industry owners. Good morning, Jennifer. Now, were you or any of the other members consulted or engaged by the federal or state government before the CMCO was announced?
Definitely not. We weren't, not from the Hapa side. We were not approached or contacted by any state government or by the authorities in terms of getting our feedback or our opinion on, you know, whatever guidelines that they wish to introduce.
And with the announcements of the SOPs yesterday, do you think there's sufficient clarity or is there still uncertainty about your members as to how to go about your respective businesses?
I think there's always the biggest problem is whenever there's any SOP or guidelines introduced, the biggest issue is always clarity, you know, because I've been in several of these groups. And yesterday, all I see is all about, you know, do we operate from 6 to 6 or 6 to 10? What's happening? Is this the rule? Which one do we go to? So there definitely isn't sufficient clarity. And because there isn't sufficient clarity, it creates a lot of fear in business owners. And it also creates a lot of fear in the public because they do not know what's right and what's wrong. You know, they don't want to be penalized. They don't want to be fined.
So even before the CMCO was announced, did you actually see a recovery in the F&B sector?
Oh, definitely. I think there were lots of restaurants and eateries that were on a recovery mode, and some were actually on the full recovery mode for some, you know, especially when they were allowed to operate till 2 a.m. When that was announced in September, because, you know, customers as well, they felt very comfortable. They were enjoying their dining that time. And you can see that you know, a lot of restaurants were starting to get full. And in fact, quite a few of them said they were doing better before the MCO.
So clearly with this new SOPs, does that derail the recovery? Because at the end of the day, right, can you actually make a profit or even cover your running costs with restrictions like only just two people per table for dine-in?
Absolutely not. You know, now with, of course, people are following the social distancing guidelines. They have to make sure that the number of tables have reduced. That's for one. And now you know, by further reducing the number of packs sitting at each table, it's definitely going to hurt their income. But the question is, when it comes to Chinese restaurants, round table seating, what do you do? I mean, I cannot imagine walking to any Chinese restaurants with a round table for 10 and having only two people sitting on each table. So that's where the confusion comes in, and that's where the fear comes in, because people, you know, they don't know what is the actual SOP. Do we, you know, is table for two, meaning is only for four seating? What happens to the long tables for 10? Do they also only sit two people? So there, and because these announcements, they always appear in a sudden mode, like in less than 24 hours or 48 hours, everybody needs to scramble and get things in order. You know, some have decided to close, to be honest, Shaoning. They don't want to open for these 2 weeks, you know, because it doesn't make any sense. People are already afraid. You know, with so much fear saying, okay, where are the spike in cases? If you look before the CMCO, any areas, the minute you say there is a case, there is immediate cancellation. Even if it's not in the same area, right? In a restaurant group where you have different restaurants, different brands all over in different parts of KL. And the minute one of the brand restaurants says, oh, there is a case, that's it. Everyone else, you know, experience cancellation in the entire area and sales just drop right down to zero. So how can anyone possibly now even think about where do I want to go and dine because of the restrictions in terms of townships, right? So even if you say, okay, I can go out and dine table for two. So Shannon, you and I want to go to KL to dine. Are we even allowed to if we're from PJ?
Yeah.
Right? So the restrictions doesn't allow people to doesn't allow the business owners to get any business because of the restrictions of the traveling within townships.
But from a HAPA perspective, what can your members do to reassure the public that there are enough SOPs in place to reduce the risk of contracting COVID-19 when you dine in a restaurant? I mean, is there regular testing of staff, for example?
Yes, I mean, coming to HAPA members, they all have their SOPs. They do their sanitizing, they do their temperature checks. Now, if I were just to think about all the cases in the last 3 months, wherever the employees get tested positive, how many of those cases are actually from restaurants? Maybe only one. The rest are all, you know, you get cases spike up in malls and they're usually from retail shops. They're, in fact, hotels. Do you hear any hotels? Did you hear, not that I know of, did you hear any hotels that actually has any particular employee that's been tested positive? I don't think so. In terms of restaurants, maybe, like I said, only one. So if you look at the F&B industry and you look at the hospitality industry, they're all doing their jobs. They're all doing all their checks and SOPs and all the proper guidelines in terms of making sure that employees are safe, customers are safe. They're all doing that so well, but yet they are the ones that get penalized, right? It's like, why has a spike in case in a mall, in a retail outlet, has to do with a restaurant that now they have to suffer because they can only have two packs per table dining?
Yeah, but with these challenging times, right, then what kind of assistance or policies would you like to see from the government to tide over these challenging times then?
Well, you know, I think the biggest hit in all these F&B owners, and not just restaurant owners, we haven't even gone down to the guys who are doing catering. We haven't even gone down to the guys who are doing what the suppliers, the F&B suppliers, they are all hit. Everyone is experiencing an extremely low income, never in history before, which has definitely hurt and impacted their cash flow. Now, moratorium has just ended, Shaoning, end of September. Everyone is supposed to be starting to pay their loans and, you know, all the installments that they've discussed with the suppliers, you know, are all now starting to take place. And now with all these sudden announcements and sudden restrictions of operating hours, for example, it was first 10, then it went to 12 midnight, it went to 2 a.m. and now back to 10 p.m. So all these uncertainties is not helping the restaurant businesses at all because they don't know how to plan. So I think if you know, the government can look at, I don't know, maybe extending the moratorium again, you know, having rentals looked into, you know, you're not even talking about wage subsidy because, to be honest, the government stimulus package didn't really get onto lots of businesses, to be honest. Yeah, it's all put out there beautifully to say, okay, these are all the stimulus package, but not many of the F&B owners have actually gotten that those stimulus package benefits at all. So wage has still been is still a very big expense to these businesses. And of course, the operating hours is one of the key things for these guys. Yeah. If the government can look into extending the operating hours back to like 2 a.m., which was what, you know, a lot of these, of course, the restaurant and bars, those that are in that sense that requires the extension of hours, even fine dining restaurants, all right, they all take 2-3 hours to literally have a dining experience. So these restaurants require a longer operating hours so that they can recuperate and they can start getting a slow, steady income back again.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Jennifer Ong, founder and CEO of Hapa Group, a private group representing hospitality, F&B and travel industry owners, telling us about the pain points that they are facing with the curtailed opening hours and also the number of people that can have a dine-in. But it's always that delicate balance, right, between health and economy, because we do need to flatten the pandemic curve. We do not want a yellow zone to become a red zone in the Klang Valley. So that's the reality there. But of course, it's going to be painful for industry. Let's just hope the CMCO maybe just lasts for 2 weeks. What were your key takeaways, Roshan?
I think it really came down to her points about communication, right? It just seems that it seems every time it's a very last minute thing. Until last night, there was still lack of clarity around some of the initiatives, like whether opening till 10 p.m. or whether it was dine in or dine out or all of that. So, and this is all very... it impacts them significantly, right? And having some of them closed completely for 2 weeks shows you the possible impacts here.
Yeah, but we'll be following this story nonetheless. But up next, Apple has a new launch. What does it tell us about the future direction of the company? We'll be discussing this after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.